Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a weekly show where two old guys talk about old games. I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and if you've listened to this show before, and if you haven't listened to this very first episode,
welcome.
This is a great time to jump in on this week's game. I can understand why you came. Mm-hmm. Surely you had your Google alert set for International Superstar Soccer. But this part, we usually tell a funny story about ourselves, you know, so the listener can laugh, get to know us a little bit better, get to know who we are, make a personal connection. Most all my stories revolve around me, so it's okay that I tell them. I give my own permission to myself to tell these stories. Mm-hmm. But this story I have today is a little lengthy, and it involves 50% me, 50% my wife. And if you listened to the show before, you know Meg, my wife is particular. She's particular about what gets out there. So
she's on Kirby's Avalanche.
Right. Mm-hmm. I asked her, I was like, I want to tell the suppository story.
The suppository story.
The suppository story. Thinking she'd be like, oh God, don't know. She'd pause. Okay. I'm surprised, but
suppository. Not like it would have stopped you.
If she would have been really, if she would have been like, oh God, please don't, then I probably would.
Because I know you specifically mentioned on the show before she's asked you not to tell a story and you tell it anyway.
That's true. If it was just solely about me, then it was like, oh, no. But since she is a major part of it,
I
don't want to tell it without her being okay with it.
So what is
I do enjoy having sex with her.
What is the suppository story?
Okay. As you know, Dave, I don't get sick very often. It's rare.
You don't.
And when I do get sick, I get sick. And the sickest I have ever gotten in my life was like a 24-hour bug I got when I was living in Murray. When myself, Meg, and Josh of Uniracers, Death and Turn of Superman, and Mega Man X3 fame, we all lived together. And I remember I just started like shaking. I got a fever real quick. And I just started vomiting, just diarrhea. Like it was just awful. Just like someone just flipped the switch and it was coming out of every hole.
Can you describe in detail?
Well, I'm about to. Because it gets to the point where it's just like, oh, fuck. I have to go to the hospital. This is so bad. I have to go to the hospital. So I tell Meg, okay, you got to drive me to the hospital. This is really bad. I have to go. I don't know if it's food poisoning. I don't know if I have like Ebola. I don't know.
How long have y'all been together at this point? Like, was this a trying period?
This was right before I left for Sullivan. Meg and I got together in 2004, so we've been together for about four.
Okay,
four
so
years.
You're past that hump.
It's okay. We've seen each other pee. We walk in the bathroom. We're in the bathroom at this point. It's fine. So she's like, okay. I get dressed. I just put on like an old pair of sweatpants, an old hoodie, and get in my car. I don't think she had a car at this point, but we get in my car. She gets in the driver's seat, and like walking to the car, I'm just vomiting. Like I'm leaving breadcrumbs like Hansel and Gretel, just blah, blah, blah. The neighbor, who I rarely ever see, happens to come out. And she's like, oh, hey. And I just look up at her and just blah, vomit. I get in the car, and she's like turning the car on, and I immediately just have to open the door. I'm just vomiting outside. It's like, man, I can't go to the hospital. Blah. Why? Because I'm shitting. Blah. I can't control it. I'm shitting my pants in the car, vomiting. So she comes around, helps me get out, just shitting and throwing up just constantly. I had just gotten a new cell phone, like 2 days before this happened. And God bless her, she's trying to help clean me up. So as soon as I walk in the door, she strips me off, throws my shitty, shit-filled sweatpants into the washer with my new cell
into
phone.
Into the incinerator.
But this is where they should have went. You know, I get in the shower, hose off, get back in bed. I'm just shivering, blankets wrapped around me. Like, I don't know what to do. I can't keep anything down. I was like, well, my mom does have Phenagrin suppositories. Call my mom.
She has what?
Fenugreek.
Fenugreek? What is that?
Fenugreek. It's a drug for like nausea, like to give people have headaches. It's like a painkiller, makes you really sleepy.
Okay.
But mainly for nausea and pain.
Do you have dysentery or something?
I don't know what it was. Yeah,
you still don't know?
I still don't know. It's about bad.
Okay.
But call my mom. She makes like the hour drive, comes, brings in the suppository. My mom doesn't like that we're living together, but you know, she can't do anything about it. So she comes in. I'm laying in bed, just shivering, wrapped in blankets. Her and Meg are standing there. Mom has the suppository. She hands it to me, and I'm like, I can't move. I cannot reach behind me and shove something in my butt right now.
Especially not Fenugreek.
Yeah. I was like, when are you going to have to do it? Meg and my mom just slowly look at each other. Because, like, we're not married. It's serious. We're living together. We're dating. Mm-hmm. Mom doesn't approve of our lifestyle. Mom is sitting there looking at me. She looks at Meg. She hands Meg the suppository. So Meg has to, like, she gets behind me, turns me over, and just gives me a suppository in front of my mother.
That was like a trial. I think your mom was testing her.
Do you love him?
So what the fuck? Next day you were fine?
Next day I was fine.
Wow.
Yeah. I just apparently had to just completely vacate myself of all fluids in my body, and then I was fine. Yep. Sick as I've ever been. 24 hour bug. Done.
Well, I'm glad that you made it through there.
Well, that time I had spinal meningitis was pretty bad, but I didn't feel as bad. Like, that was like all the shitty awfulness just crammed into a short time period. The meningitis lasted like 4 weeks.
I don't recall ever being that sick, except for the pine nut allergy, of course. Mm. I remember one time.
Yeah.
My dog, Ayn, got that sick. He must have had the same thing you had. I guess that'll be my story. I'm Dave, your bespectacled host, and I've got this wonderful corgi named Ayn, named after the dog in Cowboy Bebop, because I'm lame like that. Everyone in our corgi, just the name Ayn is so popular for a corgi that they just look down their nose. Any corgi named Ayn.
Well, I think you were a hipster, though. You were in the Cowboy Bebop before it was so cool, before it was shown every night on Adult Swim for everybody to see.
That's true. I did. We had named Ayn before Cowboy Bebop was on Adult Swim. By the way, I'm feeling pretty crappy tonight, so if you hear sniffling, and that's why I'm using my sultry, sexy voice. It's because I've got this nice sore throat action going on.
I'm just rock hard across the table just listening to you.
I remember when we were living in Murray, I was rooming with Brandon, who we talked about on the show before, and we threw this gigantic 80s party. We haven't told this story on the show.
You're right.
I don't think we have. So we had it all set up. We had like a wall just full of monitors that were playing 80s videos. We were playing 80s music the whole night. People started leaving other parties in the neighborhood and started coming to ours. So it got really, really full really fast. And Pour Some Sugar on Me came on. And I remember Brandon came running out. Everyone's all sweaty from like dancing and just being like just crammed up next to each other.
It's muddy outside because it had been raining over that day.
Right. So there's just mud tracked all over the floor. And Brandon comes running through with a bag of sugar over his head. And he just starts.
Where he got this industrial bag of sugar?
I have no idea. I don't even know if you could get this at Sam's. This thing was so fucking big. It's like he took a pillowcase and just filled it with sugar and then just started waving it over his head, dousing everyone in sugar, which was fine at the time. But in the morning, it was super annoying because, of course, everyone had left and I wake up and Ayn is just doing laps, just licking up all the sugar on the floor, as much sugar as he can. And I remember watching him as he was doing it, thinking, this is not going to be good. No good is going to come of this. So I stop him from doing all that. And then I go over to Nikki's and I bring Ayn with me. And it is not long after I get in the door, he just starts shitting and vomiting at the same time. Just everywhere. We put him in the half bathroom, put the baby gate up. There wasn't a whole lot we could do for him. He just kept getting sick and sick. And then once the floor would get just full of dog stuff, I would take him outside and then bring the hose in and hose out the bathroom floor.
Oh, God.
That's how bad it was.
And the side anecdote about that, you had an 80s costume contest.
I did.
You'd advertised 80s costume contest. Mm-hmm. You neglected to say what century of the 80s it was.
That's right.
So Jacob York shows up in an 1880s Oregon Trail-ish costume.
Yeah, he was a general storekeeper from Oregon Trail.
And would only speak in in Oregon Trail terms. Can I have an ox? Sure, we don't need two oxen. And he won the Rubik's Cube prize.
He did. So enough shit and vomit, Tyler.
For now.
Yeah, for now.
Enough literal shit and vomit.
If our listeners have made it this far, maybe they'd like to know what you've been playing this week.
Yeah, I hope John and Sullivan's not eating lunch. All right, well, this week, besides playing this game, I started my own personal challenge to myself this week.
Okay. Is it a masturbation challenge?
No. I did those in middle school. It's fine.
5 times a day for a month.
When I first did it, I told myself, I'm going to do this every day. But after you did Immature Gaming Month, mm-hmm. I was like, I should do something as well. So yesterday I started play my whole Steam library in alphabetical order.
You're a madman.
I mean, it's not like Tadpog, where if I don't like the game, I'm still going to slog through it as best as I can. Mm-hmm. Like I've got a pretty big Steam library, a lot of it from Humble Bundle. So stuff that like I wouldn't normally buy is on there. So if I don't really like it, I'm going to give it an honest shot, but then I'm not going to waste my time. I'll just move on. So this week I played A Virus Named Tom.
Okay. That's at the top of my list.
Yep. Yep. So that's up there. I got about 3/4 of the way through it before I was just like, no, this is not worth the stress and frustration it's causing me.
What kind of game is it? I haven't tried it yet.
It's a very cleverly disguised puzzle game where you play a virus named Tom who's infiltrating the corporate headquarters that fired his maker. So okay. You're infiltrating to fuck up all their systems out of revenge.
You're fighting Dr. Mario.
You're almost like you're Dr. Wily coming against the Dr. Light Corporation.
You're a computer virus?
Yeah, you're a computer virus.
Not a biological virus?
Nice, nope. You come in and it's all about, he's basically a fancy pipe fitter because you're connecting pipes to take two different energy sources and hook them up, and that allows your virus to flow through to the object. So
is it like the mini game in BioShock, the hacking mini game?
Sorta.
That's what
it just slowly builds on itself. Yeah, because there are squares you can't pass through and barriers, and then there'll be security bots that are chasing you that you have to avoid, and they keep stacking on the challenges. Eventually, like you can't see the pipes that are there until you do something, and the viruses get it starts stacking up, and it's always the time on it is so tight on like every puzzle.
There's a time limit on each one.
Yeah. Like, you have to steal energy in order to lengthen your time, and it's just, certain levels were just, they just weren't fun. Overall, it was, even at the best, it was only okay. So, 3/4 of the way through it, okay, I got all of me out of this game. Got it for $1 in a Humble Bundle, sure, all right, I'm good. Yeah. So, the next was Alan Wake. I had played and beat Alan Wake already, so I skipped that, and started Alan Wake American Nightmare.
How far are you into that? Because I heard not so great things about it.
It's certainly not awful. I think I've played it 4 hours, and I feel like I'm probably pretty close to the end. It's not very long.
Okay.
There's no mystery. They definitely tightened up the combat, which is good because I loved Alan Wake, but I thought the combat was a little clunky. So they fixed it, but then they made it the primary component. So yeah. I feel like it doesn't really feel that much like the Alan Wake game.
A whole lot of fighting.
Yeah, it's a lot of fighting. You still collect manuscript pages, trying for him to piece together. The villain, Mr. Scratch, is still there, and his interaction is interesting, watching him on the Brightfall. You find the televisions to the Brightfall show and Nightfall show. But yeah, it's him going through 3 different scenic locations, each one with a different sexy lady he has to save.
Okay.
So yes, he's married, but each one, like the first time you walk into a garage and find like a sexy mechanic, and then you find a... Of course, she has like overalls tied around her waist and a skimpy top, and then you go to an observatory.
Is it Halloween?
I don't know. It's set in Arizona.
You got a sexy mechanic? You got a sexy witch?
Well, you find the sexy scientist in the observatory, and he even comments like, "Do you always dress like that when you go to work?" She's got like a sexy black dress and a lab coat on. She's like, "No, I just came from a lavish party, and you have to save her."
Whatever.
And then
when why do you have this?
Humble Bundle.
I must have missed that Humble Bundle.
They had the Alan Wake. It was like the first weekly Humble Bundle they did was the Alan Wake bundle. And then when you get to the drive-in, you walk into the drive-in manager's office, and as soon as you walk in, there's a woman who's been touched by darkness, and she's like, "Oh, it's you. I'll do anything for you. Don't touch me there." And you have to save her, and then she's very thankful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, okay.
Show me on the doll where the writer touched you.
The writing just definitely, it falls short. The combat tweaked up a little bit better. It's fun.
Cool.
So I'm not sure what's next. I'll have to look. I think it's Awesome Knots after I finish. I'm definitely going to beat American Nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And then Awesome Knots will be next week.
Cool.
What have you been playing?
Plants vs. Zombies 2. Still my toilet game. I know you've been curious about that. Making good progress.
Now you're sick. I'm sure you're making good progress.
Yeah. Collecting stars like crazy. Nikki and I are still playing Final Fantasy 14. We just got our airship passes the other day. Miller of Populous fame. Totally putting us to shame because he's already max level. Dragoon.
Well, he's the master of MMOs.
He really is the master of MMOs. Also, I've been playing Fez. I picked it up in the last Humble Bundle.
Nice.
And started playing it today. Probably only about 4 hours in.
How do you feel about Fez?
It's okay.
Yeah.
I like the platforming a lot. I like the perspective mechanic. It's like a 2D platformer, but you use the right trigger and left trigger to rotate the world three-dimensionally.
Mm-hmm.
So everything hinges around that. And it's really, really fun at first, but it starts to get old, I feel like. There isn't a whole lot of momentum. You explore the world, and you don't get a whole lot of direction either. So I'm at a point right now where I don't really know what to do.
Mm.
I'm just going to keep exploring, I guess, until something makes itself known. Definitely worth the dollar.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good. I would recommend it for the music alone. Because I think the music's fantastic. And the art direction's really good, too. There is a part in the beginning where the game glitches out, and you have a BIOS boot screen that comes up that's all, like, mocked up really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then the game title screen reloads again, but this time it's glitchy, and it's got, like, kill screen artifacts and stuff on it. So that's nice. It's I like games and books and comics and movies that break the fourth wall.
Mm-hmm.
And Fez does that pretty much early on in the game.
Okay. I finally got hooked by Emperor of Thorns this last week.
Oh, yeah?
I get finally, it took me a little while listening before it. Because I think like that point in every book where it's just, if you're changing gears dramatically, if you go from like sequel to sequel, I don't really find that. But if you change gears from book, whatever, like book series to book series, mm-hmm. like I find it hard. And it had been a while since I listened to King. So going to Emperor, like it just took a while of me kind of slogging through before.
King
it.
From Tekken.
Right. I prefer Armor King personally, but yeah, okay. It took a while before it, but once it did, like I've been listening to it a lot. I'm almost done with it. Cool. So it's gotten much, much better. And the anachronistic elements that I did not like are used much better in this one.
Good.
So
I've been reading Neuromancer by William Gibson.
Yeah.
It's the birth of cyberpunk,
mm-hmm.
essentially. International Superstar Soccer.
Yep.
We've wasted a lot of time not talking about this game.
So I think it might as well know that our frequent listeners know that we just fucking loved this game. Loved it. Oh, God. We were just so excited to just get into this one.
Mm-hmm.
Man, sports. Sports guys.
Love sports games.
Yeah. We're ballers.
Yes.
Hardcore ballers.
Tyler, did you ever play this game as a kid?
No. No. I played Little League soccer for way longer than I should have.
So you played real soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Hardcore. What, Little League soccer? I didn't mm-hmm. know that was a thing. Yeah. I knew there was Little League baseball.
I think I played for like 4 or 5 years.
So naturally you were good at this game, international soccer.
Yeah, as good as I was at playing soccer growing up, in like the 4 or 5 years that I played soccer, I scored one goal.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
That's a lot more than I ever scored.
I know there's a goalie. I know there's a striker and a midfielder.
Uh-huh.
I was always a midfielder, so I assume it's a position no one really wants to play.
You already know more about this game than I do. I played for a season in middle school, and it was the most frustrating experience ever because we had a coach that apparently just assumed that everyone knew how to play, and maybe half the kids knew how to play soccer, but the other half were just like, kick the ball. Kick the ball down that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I really remember about that is running laps. So yeah. Soccer was pretty much track for me.
But you like track.
Yeah, I love track. It's easy because there's no fucking ball. You just fucking run fast. I didn't play this game as a kid, but I was part of a student exchange program where over the summer I went to Swindon, England to live with the family there. And I remember...
I don't know this about you.
I don't know. I don't talk about middle school me too much, I guess.
You should, apparently.
I live with this kid named Giles. And I remember being super excited because his name was spelled like Guile, but with an S on it. So I just imagined I was going to be living with Guile from Street Fighter. Not the case. He was a really nice kid named Giles. I was disheartened when I learned how to say his name. I remember it was like the first night he asked me, he's like, do you like video games? And I was like, yeah, I like video games. Do you have any? He's like, yeah, yeah, I do. Let's play. It's like, great. So like he takes me to his room and he's like, just take a look and pick out whatever you want to play. I was like, awesome. I look and it's like all sports games. Every single game is sports games. He had like 20 games. All of them were sports game and half of them were soccer games because he was obsessed with football.
Oh, man.
And we played a game that was similar to International Superstar Soccer. And God, he just fucking crushed me. Like, it was not fun for him or me because, like, I couldn't offer a challenge. And then, like, he had mastered it. So, for fucking get it.
I had no idea you did that. How long did you stay over there?
4 weeks, I think, in England, and then spent some time in Ireland and Scotland.
That's awesome. That's, I wish I had done something like that.
I didn't want to leave because I would go to school with him, and like all the English girls would always be like, will you go out with me? Will you go out with me? Like, I mean, it was like every day there'd be like five of them. I remember asking him, is it just because I'm American? Every time they were like, yes.
At least they were honest. All right.
So I remember thinking, like, as a kid in middle school, I was like, you know, if shit doesn't work out in the United States, at least I know. At least I know that I can go to England and I can get a girlfriend like that for being American. I'm sure it's different when you're not 12.
But I played soccer, scored one goal on a kid who, the whole time he was goalie, only one goal ever got scored on him.
Oh God, I didn't mean to hijack your story. I thought you were done.
No, that's okay. Your story's better. But I was the only person who ever scored a goal on him. That's because it was sort of a, like, I was very close to him and kind of ran into each other.
Like,
and
you were close? Like, you were friends?
We became friends after the, like, years later. Like, this was in elementary school, and then in middle school, we became friends. But it was, like, a thing where I ran into him, and, like, then he kicked the ball in, like, himself. Like, it was kind of a hazy situation about my one goal I ever made, the one goal I ever scored on him. I honestly do think he was a little bitter about it whenever we became friends in middle school. But we had a really strange friendship in middle school. Like, in popularity, I was, like, I was pretty much solidly in the middle of the middle school popularity scale. And he was higher.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a weird friendship all throughout middle school. And then, like, my freshman year of high school, I wish Josh Nance was here to tell, to, because I don't remember this. Josh saw it, though. Like, the kid was very into wrestling at the time, and he would do chokeholds.
Okay.
On all the, like, all the time, and do it till people would pass out.
I'm beginning to put together why you don't remember this.
Exactly. And he would always do it to me until I would tap out. And then we went to somebody's birthday party at, like, a civic center. And I remember walking in, everybody's on the dance floor. He does it to me, and when I tap out, he doesn't let go. He wants to make me pass out. So I pass out, hit my head. That whole day, I don't remember bits and pieces about the entire day. That whole thing is just, like, gone from my life. I remember,
holy shit.
I remember pulling gum out of a girl's hair, like, in, like, science class, and I remember getting to the party. And that's it, the whole day. So, like, Josh told me that, like, I passed out, and then it took a little bit, and I got up, and I was like, what just happened? Oh, Sparrow made you pass out, and you hit your head, and I got furious. I was just, like, throwing chairs and screaming, and then I would stop. Where am I? What happened? He made you pass out? What? Chairs, throwing, screaming. Pause. Where am I? And this just kept going over and over and over again. Like, it was like memento. My memory was just that long until Josh called my mom. And my mom came, and, like, they had to take me to the hospital, and I had to get and go in the big metal donut. My mom went.
Not a suppository. That's where we keep the suppositories. So. Suppositarium.
But I remember, like, another friend of mine and Josh, like, went to the hospital with me. And remember, they told me that my brother was crying. He was like, I don't want Tyler to die.
So when did you get normal again?
The next day, I was fine. I had no recollection about what happened. And the kid, his mom drove him over, and the kid was, like, crying and apologized. It's like, you've always just been nice to me, and I did this to you. I'm sorry, blah, 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 blah.
You scored that goal on me. I guess we're even now.
I swear. And I remember then, like, when the hospital bills came in, like, yeah, we had to, like, sue the kid's parents because they, like, despite the fact he did it to me and put it in the hospital, they wouldn't pay. So then, like, after that, our friendship fell apart because they had to sue them. Then he had to go to like anger management classes for like a really long time. So, soccer.
So, soccer. Yeah, some people are probably tuning in to hear us talk about this game.
Maybe.
Maybe. Tyler.
Yeah.
If you wouldn't mind indulging me.
Please.
I like to do a little segment that I like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia. I'm going to do my best on this because my voice is waning quickly. Guys, International Superstar Soccer is the name of a series of football video games developed by a Japanese company you might have heard of called Konami. The series had its origins with the Nintendo, the original NES, late in 1991 with Konami Hyper Soccer. It was Konami's first soccer game on consoles. And while that's not technically a game in the series, that game was successful enough for them to develop a game called Jikyo World Soccer Perfect 11.
Yeah!
For the Japanese Super Nintendo. And it was released here in North America as International Superstar Soccer.
I butchered it.
I don't know why the hell they changed the name. That came out in 1994. Mm. And these 16-bit titles, Tyler, in many terms, they were considered to be a step ahead from other contemporary football games, including FIFA International Soccer.
And FIFA 14.
Just came out. I thought about picking it up.
For PS2, because it's the last game for PS2.
Oh,
now,
really?
Now PS2 is dead. Yep.
I didn't know that.
Cause
I didn't know that.
It's huge in like Brazil, where they don't have a lot of money to spend on video games. So like the PS2 is massive over there. So they get PS2 editions of like current games all the time, just because that's their main system.
No, I didn't know that at all. I wanted to rent it for PS3. And then I noticed that Redbox only had it for 360. And I was like, I've already boxed that up. Like my 360 is already in the closet. I've got my PlayStation 3 hooked up still, but I'm not going to go dig that fucker out just to play this game that I don't even really want to play to compare it to a 1994 version of soccer.
If you listen closely in the future, we'll be hearing Micah Perdue crying. Lord Mike just weeping, just sad, sad tears about the 360 being boxed up.
Sorry, Lord Mike. I mean, you know, what am I going to do? I will give it credit. That's, I think, a second gen 360. It's never red-ringed on me or anything. Mm. So it's so old that it's the white plastic that now it kind of looks like, now it's kind of beige.
Yeah. Like the bottom half of all Super Nintendos.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Soccer games. Soccer games in general. I haven't played a lot of soccer games, just a few. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they all have the same problem in that...
It's soccer.
Well, the soccer field is so big, and the way the camera is on the soccer field, it just doesn't work very well for me. Because, like, at least, like, you know, a football game, usually you can see the whole... The whole court. Right. Or in basketball, you can see either the full court or half at a time. That's totally manageable.
Right.
Soccer, on the other hand... It's just all green, so it all, unless it's the goal, it all looks the same, and then trying to pass back and forth to each other, it just...
And that's super important. The passing is super important, I found out.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. It's not a good idea to be a guy on the other side of the field running it the entire way. I don't know. Never seemed to work out for me.
Nothing really worked out for me at all, ever. I just got stomped. I tried for an hour to play this game, not counting the training. I went through the training, just trying to play actual games. Never scored one goal, never got close. Like, I would get the ball, it's immediately stolen. I get the ball and I try to dribble, stolen.
And it's gone.
I try to, trying to pass. All right, well, I kick it halfway down the field for some reason, goal of the other team. Fuck it.
I'm glad you mentioned training mode, because I really like training mode. When I first started playing this game, I just got right into it. I was like, let's play a game. And I lost 5-0. And I'm like, let's try this training mode thing. Mm-hmm. And they have increasingly difficult levels of training that go over all the fundamentals, like dribbling the ball, passing the ball, corner kicks, and trying to shoot goals and all that kind of shit. I thought it was super useful, but I did all of it. But then I got out and I was like, all right, I'm ready to play a game. Still lost.
Yeah, no, I was pretty much the same way. You recommended do the training. So I did the training and I felt helpful, but then trying to remember all that I did with corner kicks and passing and then trying to do, it just kind of flapped away.
Yeah, I still lost. As I was playing, I was like, I wish I knew how to play soccer.
It's not just soccer games, but I feel like all sports games, the majority, it's not every one of them. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Sith speaking in absolutes. The majority of sports games are just so incredibly insular. You have to be part of that world to enjoy a game. There's no, like, someone who doesn't really like this sport very much will find this kind of game fun or can really even break into the world at all.
Yeah.
I love the training mode. I'm so mm-hmm. glad it's there. It wasn't totally useful mm-hmm. in practical terms, but the fact they put it in there, that speaks volumes. I think that's really good on their part.
Well, and it's cool the way they did it too, because even the training mode is competitive because mm-hmm. they rank you at the end based on how long it took you to go through and how many mistakes you made. So I thought that was cool that there's a ranking leaderboard at the mm-hmm. end of each training mission just to let you know how you did. I also agree with you with a lot of sports games, especially realistic sports games, are incredibly insular. And that's why I like the Mario series of sports games, like Super Strikers is their soccer game. And that I did perfectly fine in, because you've got power-ups and all kinds of shit where you don't really, you can make up for your lack of understanding the sport just by using items.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's true. I felt the same way about Super Punch-Out. Like, I'm not really a fan of, like, boxing or mm-hmm. anything like that, but God, I love Super Punch-Out so much. It made me want to try boxing, which I took boxing lessons afterward. And
really?
Yeah.
At like an old hole-in-the-wall gym?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. My trainer's name was Chico.
Nice.
Chico was an old man with a rat tail.
So metal.
He wore like the...
You're making this shit up.
No, I'm not. My dad knew this guy. My dad's really into boxing. Uh-huh. So we went, he took me because dad was also taking lessons. They liked that I was left-handed. So they thought, oh, he's left-handed. That's something good to work uh-huh. on. So
he's already had a concussion. He's good.
I never got in the ring and really boxed with anybody. I was still pretty young. And I just went with dad every now and then. But because the guy wore, like, you see, like, a lot of, like, Chinese chefs wearing them or Chinese people in, like, 80s movies, like, the kind of hat they have on. Chico wore that with his
rat
tail.
It's like the hat that Raiden wears?
No, it's like a tight-fitting cap.
Like a skull cap kind of deal?
Sort of like a skull cap, yeah. It was very Asian style.
Ties in the back?
No.
No, okay. No, so it's not like a monk on. AF.
No.
Tyler and Dave talk about hats.
Some people like our stories. Mm-hmm. Some people really like the games.
Right, a lot of people like the games, and we're not delivering
so
all
that. It's like, I'm sorry, we don't have a whole lot to say about the game. So I'm sorry, people who are in it for the games. We'll come back next week with a lot better mm-hmm. game talk.
We promise. If we don't, you can have your money back. I thought the game looked good.
It did.
It looked a lot better than a lot of soccer games that I remember from the 90s.
Yeah, my only, I guess, complaint graphic-wise is that, like, all the only men on all the soccer teams, mm-hmm. and all the men...
Yes, I'm outraged about that as well, Tyler.
All the men looked, on the same team, all looked the same. It was like each team was a clone of the same man.
And
the men the variation between the men in different teams was basically hair length.
Yes. Okay. All right. I was about to say, they had different length hair, so they did different colored hair as well.
Oh, I just heard a lot of short or long brown hair in their team uniform.
Who was your go-to team?
Italy.
Italy? I went to Brazil because I just remember... And I could be mistaken. Like, I could have just been playing this completely on a lie. But when I first started the game up, I was like, Brazil, man, they were good in the 90s.
You're not wrong.
Okay, great.
I remember that. I remember Brazil is, like, always the team, like, that's the soccer team. I just chose Italy because I didn't enjoy the description of each country's team telling you their strengths and weaknesses.
What was Italy's?
Strongest defense in the game.
There you go.
So I was like, all right, Italy. I'm on board Italy.
I didn't even read them. I didn't, because I was just like, I'm going to try. I tried three teams. I tried Brazil. I tried UK, because, you know, it's fucking UK. And I tried USA, just because let's have a little national pride. I thought USA was the worst.
Probably was, because I think we generally, like, are considered one of the worst soccer playing countries, but it's because we don't really play soccer.
We're gonna get corrections on that, I'm sure.
Probably. Like, as much as I remember, all my knowledge of soccer is like USA is pretty bad. I remember seeing on the Daily Show that we're getting better, but like we're pretty bad. It's just not a part of our national history. Kids don't grow up playing soccer here like they do in like every other country in the world.
Right.
We don't even call it the same thing here. That's how it's just not a thing. Mm-hmm. So But I remember I enjoyed all the descriptions, although I didn't understand of them, a lot of them. Like, some of them talked about their goalies being strong and their midfield game strategy being favorable, but they were weak on their striking position. Like, so a lot of variation between all the teams that I didn't really understand.
They were color-coded. I like that. Like, green meant they were, what, more offensive, and red meant they were more defensive?
I think so, because players' names were highlighted in those certain colors. Yeah. Like, some countries would have an overall description, and then some teams would be like, this player is just really good.
Right.
So, okay.
I think it's interesting you talked about how, you know, all the they have different length hair for all the team members.
Mm-hmm.
They're based on actual soccer players, but they didn't own the rights. So it's one of those situations where they modeled everyone to look like a player, and they had the same numbers and everything, but they didn't name them their actual names because they didn't want to get sued.
Gotcha. Okay.
And this is actually the first little bit of trivia for you. This is the first soccer game to display jersey numbers.
Okay. I think that's why it's on the list, or is this just like the best soccer game for the Super Nintendo?
I think this is widely seen as the best soccer game from this era. Because I know I've heard people even talk about soccer games that came out on the PlayStation 1 that they didn't think were as good as this game.
Hmm. Okay. Can see it. I didn't really play a lot of soccer games.
No, me neither. So I mean, I can't really sit here and be like, and it was.
Let's critique this soccer game. Just real. Let's just get into
because
it.
Because I played the 10 that Giles had, and I can't remember a single fucking name for one of those. It was so sad because I was like, well, maybe I'll be good at this one. Nope.
Nope.
Do you have Mario, Giles? Do you have Mario?
Super Mario World comes with the Super Nintendo. Where is it? So I think what it really comes down to, I think for both of us, I think we can both get behind this statement. When it comes to soccer, if it's not Ladybugs, we don't give a shit.
I'm so glad you brought up Ladybugs. Yeah.
If it's not Jonathan Brandis in a wig.
Or Rodney Dangerfield.
We don't give a shit. I know we've talked about it before, but it still makes me so sad that they're both dead. Let's just mourn the loss of Jonathan Brandis and Rodney Dangerfield just one more time.
That strange suicide pact they arranged.
If I commit suicide, me, 18-year-old boy, then you, 80-year-old man, have to die shortly after. Deal, kid, deal. I actually listened to another podcast the other day where they talked a whole lot about Rodney Dangerfield. And I just didn't, I knew he was old, but I didn't realize how old he was. Like, he's
how old
like,
was he?
He was in his 80s when he died, and he's like, of like the first generation of like stand-up comedians. He's like, you know, he was one of the people that tore in there with like Lenny Bruce and like he helped set the standard. Like Jerry Seinfeld, and he plays the king in Robin Hood Men in Tights. Richard Lewis, like they're like
King
second
Ralph?
Generation.
John Goodman?
No. I've seen like one of his stand-up bits, but he's somebody like I want to see more of his stand-up. I want to see like Rodney Dangerfield through the ages as his stand-up progresses.
I want to see the Rodney Dangerfield Super Nintendo game.
Yes, please.
Where you play-
John Sullivan, let's work on this.
Each one of his movies is a level.
Is there one where he's on a train? There has to be a movie where Rodney Dangerfield's on a train.
I thought the music in training mode sounded like Mario Kart. Just figure I'd say that. I think that might be one of the reasons I liked it so much. One of my first games was against Nigeria, and it was just fucking drums. And it was like so fucking tense because it's like I don't know how to play this game, and it's just it's like I feel like I'm gonna like a fucking lion's gonna come out and maul my players.
I guess we should watch Kicking and Screaming at some point together, just to expand our soccer movie repertoire beyond Ladybugs.
We should have watched it for this episode because this is not a good episode.
We're sorry.
This
We're
is
sorry.
Not
we,
a good episode.
We don't know what to say. We're sorry. We just have stories. We have random commentary. We're sorry. Some games just aren't going to ping with us. We're
this is
sorry.
One of them.
I've got some achievements.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You ready to do them? Let's do them.
I don't know what else to say.
Let's get this fucking over with.
My first achievement is Sieg Heil.
Oh, fuck. Never mind.
That's when you have to win the world tournament is Germany. That's there right. We go. That's one. And then the only way it'll happen, which is win the world tournament as the United States.
Oh, okay.
So the only way that's going to happen is if you do it in a video game.
I don't have achievements.
Well, you just keep thinking about countries that would, you get a different achievement each time you win the tournament with each of the difference.
Even as I was playing it, I was like, I don't have fucking achievements. And I was like trying to think, I was like, something with a corner kick. And I was like, what the fuck is a corner kick? I don't even know. Like, you stand in the corner and why? Why? I don't even, like, okay, why? When do you get a corner kick? It's like when someone would kick the ball over the goal. Now there's a corner kick?
I don't know. You know what? I've played soccer. I just remember if someone kicked it out of bounds, you'd get your throw or your kick.
It seemed like every time the ball went over the goal, there would be a corner kick. So, I don't know. I guess my achievement would be something like, get in the corner, dummy. Because that's how I felt. I felt like a fucking dummy who didn't know anything. And then random corner kicks would happen.
Yeah. I thought, kick the ball. What do you get that for? Kicking the ball. International superstar soccer. Tadpog style.
Good luck, Yank. That's my achievement.
Yeah, so we welcome Collins next week with international superstar commentary. People like, you fuckers are just soccer assholes.
Does someone want to do this episode for us? That's what we should have done last episode.
Yeah.
There was held open auditions for two guys who wanted to do this game for us.
Damn, that would have been good. Then we're going to outsource all future games that we just don't we just don't have any bearing, or we shouldn't be talking about it.
I think that's a good idea, Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
We haven't talked about this game a lot.
No. No, Dave.
But I want to end this. I would like to end this. Normally I say, I had a lot of fun recording tonight, Tyler. A lot more fun than playing the game. I will say I've had probably more fun recording tonight, but this is, I just feel like...
That's not a heavy, something to clear a high bar.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I enjoy talking to you, Tyler. I like the time that we spend together. However, I do feel like this is... not a fruitful episode. Let's just come clean.
So whoever just like, you know what episode I really enjoyed? The International Superstar. God bless you, listener, whoever you are, if you exist. You probably don't.
No.
No. So we're sorry. There's not much we can do.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a beard, what kind of beard would you give it?
I did a little bit of research for beards and glasses.
Okay. Good.
So for the beard, I'm going to give this Alexi Lawless's goatee.
Who is that?
Alexi Lawless.
Alexi?
Alexi. He is a...
Sounds like a girl's name.
That's his name.
Sounds like a porn star, actually.
He is a ginger U.S. soccer player. He retired several years ago, but he was, I believe, like, for U.S. soccer, he was pretty good. He had a huge... fro of red hair and a very, very long, bright red goatee.
All right.
If people say this is a good soccer game, we're going to give it a red beard. We're going to give it Alexi Lawless. He's a soccer player. Nice. His red beard.
Let me just guess your Google search term. Beards in soccer.
Well, I remember the name Alexi Lawless, so I Googled his picture, hoping, yep, had a beard.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses... What do you think? What would we give it?
I would have to give this. It's a good pair of glasses. Mm-hmm. Edgar David's glasses.
Who, I don't know who that is either.
Edgar David's is a soccer player.
I'm going to fucking strangle you.
He is...
Larry David's brother.
Edgar. He wears glasses.
Also played a little soccer. He coached your Little League soccer team.
He apparently, this guy has like a grass allergy, so he wears these special glasses to help control his allergies in his eyes.
This guy sounds really cool.
So, yeah, he's got his allergy protective eyewear he plays during games. So, Edgar Davis's glasses.
Why would he, like, wouldn't he, like, plays hockey or something instead?
He was on board. Like, I love this game. I'm not going to let these allergies stop me. Special glasses.
Some people call us.
Yeah. Let's play them very slowly and talk about them a lot.
Tyler, Dave, it is Paul Quill. I am so sorry I haven't called in a very long time. I have been so swamped with business and getting my own web show started. I just finished listening to the Mega Man X episode with Josh Nicole Nance. Awesome episode, by the way. And I just am. It's so funny because you guys were talking about Alan Wake, and I just started playing that for the web show. Super entertaining coincidence. I thought I'd mention it. Keep up the great work. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for calling, Paul.
Yeah, as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, we haven't heard from Paul in a long time.
Oh, man, I love Alan Wake. Are you streaming the video? Are you playing it or what? We need more info. We want to plug your Alan Wake playing, Paul. Mm-hmm. Let us know.
Say starting a web show?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll be on your web show. We'll totally be on your web show, Paul Cole. Thanks for inviting us.
You want to talk about soccer? We are available. Keep us in mind. Got another call.
Yeah.
Hey, Ted Pog. It's Drew Rowland here, and I was just calling to thank y'all for the birthday message. And then also, I was listening to some old Ted Pog deep tracks. I was wondering, when were y'all gonna ever have that La Luna or La? Oh God, I can't say it. La Mulana episode. I think that's about it. I feel really weird talking to y'all alone in my living room. Okay, bye.
Was that the promised drunk call, Drew Rowland? If not, I'm really bored of the drunk call. He brings up a good point.
Yeah, that's a good question. Man, you're listening to some really old episodes, yeah. Huh? Because I think we were talking about La Mulana way
back.
It
was early. That was the first special episode we ever talked about doing.
Yeah, and then it became an ongoing joke of all the games we talked about we do special episodes for.
I still wouldn't mind doing a La Mulana episode. The game is just...
hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Yeah.
We enjoy what we played, yeah. But we just have to... we'll have to sit down and really make time and put... well, it took a lot of time for us to get through La Mulana enough mm-hmm. to talk about it. So, just for you, Drew Rowland, yes, we will do La Mulana.
Don't lie to him.
No, we'll do it. Don't lie to him. I'm not going to put a date on it. I'm just going to say we'll do one.
All right. Sometime in the next 20 years.
It'll be like how now they're still making special Nintendo cartridges every now and then.
Right.
Tadpog has been dead and gone, hasn't been updated for years. La Mulana episode is out of the blue.
A little surprise.
It'll be just you. It's Dave. Tyler died years ago. I just saw this on my computer. Thought I'd give another shot. Anybody still out there?
It's me doing both of our voices. Yeah, it's the saddest shit ever.
Sometimes, I don't know why you sound like a grizzled southern man. So, Tyler, how's heaven? It's great, Dave. I miss your friendship so much. Oh, I'm glad to hear you say that, Tyler.
Got another call.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Lord Michael Perdue here with this What's Would You Rather. Brought to you this week by Diet Dr. Pepper. Now, this week's Would You Rather... would you rather, if forced to, held by gunpoint, and forced to choose which you would prefer, and by prefer, I mean you have to get done, would you go with a facial tattoo, or would you go with a super tramp stamp on the lower back, a super queer tramp stamp on the lower back, or a super queer facial tattoo? Definitely would say lower back, at least that can be hidden. Super queer, tramp stamp, any kind of tattoo on the face other than the teardrop. Because if you go with the teardrop, it's supposed to mean you killed somebody or something. And if you killed somebody, I'm going to be a little bit scared. So there's my answer. Look forward to hearing your guys. Keep up the good work. Talk to you later.
Lord Mike messaged me on Facebook yesterday mm-hmm. asking when we're going to record. I told him today. And he was like, all right, well, would you rather? It's coming from a very dark place. And he was telling me about a lot of stuff that was going on in his life. He was like, it was just kind of an apex of just me being angry and upset. I just called and gave you guys a would you rather. So I was like, I look forward to hearing this. He's like, I don't know how you're going to deal with it. It's kind of weird. I know it's out there. There you go.
Well, Lord Mike, I hope you're doing better.
Mm-hmm.
I hope listening to us not talk about soccer has made your day better. I've got an answer.
Okay.
I like that he said facial tattoo. Because the first thing I thought of was a tattoo of someone giving someone else a facial.
Would you rather get a facial?
So my answer would be, you know, let's go all out. I think I would like to get a tramp stamp of a guy giving another guy a facial.
Because he said facial tattoo and then lower back tattoo and then added the queer adjective. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if he means like strange and weird, or...
I mean, if it was hate speech, we would have blurred it out.
So we're going to assume it's weird.
It's weird.
All right. I guess it depends on if I'm going to retire, if I'm not planning on going back into the workforce, mm-hmm. maybe get a facial tattoo.
Mm-hmm. Who you want to give it to you? Is this how you died?
Get the Kakashi long facial / tattoo and then always nice. Have a Sharingan contact in that eye.
I think you should get Majora's mask.
Oh, man. Or if you die first and I go insane and then get your face on top of my face and then I do Tadpog in the mirror.
It's a long, elaborate show where it's actually one long palindrome.
Oh, God. That would be amazing.
It's an hour-long palindrome where you play it forward, it's you. You play it backwards, it's me.
Some very talented, devoted fan. Splice that together.
But the best I can do is Taco Cat is the same backwards and forwards.
A man, a plan, Panama. There we go. You've got our two lines.
Got another call, Tyler.
Oh, fourth call. We haven't had a fourth call in a while.
I know. They're really helping us out on this horrible episode.
Hey, guys. What's up? You keep cousin calling. I was browsing Reddit earlier today, and I was on the Ask Reddit subreddit, and I saw a question on there that I thought would be a good one for Tadpog to answer. So the question was, what is the craziest thing a stranger has ever said to you? Now, I think I actually have a pretty good example of this myself, so I'm going to share that with you now. A couple of years ago, my wife and I were walking to get something to eat in Baltimore, and we were walking down the street, and there was this homeless man, or appeared to be a homeless man, standing on the side of the street, on the sidewalk, with what looked to be about a 4-foot-tall artificial palm tree strapped to his back so that the leaves on the palm tree were above his head like an umbrella. And, you know, as we're walking past this guy, he goes, "Excuse me, do you know how to get to Papa John's?" Now, we didn't think this was such a strange question because Papa John's is only a few blocks from where we were. So I proceeded to explain to this gentleman how to get to Papa John's. When I finished explaining it to him, he turns to me and he says, "Yeah, Papa John's Hopkins. I go to school there. I'm going to be a baker." And then he turns on his heels and walks down the street. All right, guys, that was my story of the craziest thing that a stranger has ever said to me. I look forward to hearing your story, and keep up the good work.
I've got what I think is mine, and if Josh Nance were here, I've got what I think Josh Nance's would be.
I think I know what you're going to tell.
So thank you, Yuki's cousin. I'll start with mine. I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a night in jail.
Tyler, I don't think I can. I didn't know that. I don't think I can do the show with you
anymore. Yeah. Well, it's even for the England story in jail. One night for a charge of receiving stolen goods. I won't elaborate, but they picked me up at like 11 and let me out at like 7. So the one night I spent in the local county jail, they put me in there. I don't know if this guy was a cultist of Cthulhu and he was just absolutely insane, but they stuck me in there with this guy, and I don't even know how to describe him. It's just this old, withered, just babbling, insane man. And I mean, I thought they took away all your stuff whenever you got in jail. Like, I didn't have anything.
Right.
This guy, as soon as I sit down, he just starts yammering at me. And the whole while, he's got these, like, his hands are just so dirty, and he pulls out, like, cigarettes, like he starts hand rolling cigarettes.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know how he got papers and tobacco. Like, I don't know if he shoved up his ass.
Maybe
and
works
check.
There.
I thought he might be part of like a scared straight program. So like kids 18 that get thrown in jail, they're thrown with him, and he
That's
just
why you always
out.
Leave a note.
But he's like rolling like these horrible like handmade cigarettes that are all like crooked, tobacco smelling out, and he's like shaking. And he's like, man, you know why I'm in here? Man, it's because the judges know. They know I know more than them, and unless they trump up the charges and lie to the system, they can't keep me down. I'm invincible. I can't. No justice is going to stand up to me. I'm in here because they're afraid. They're afraid of my legal knowledge. They're afraid of what I can do when I do this law. Marsh County don't know nothing. That's why I'm in here. McCrae County can't even handle me. They sent me over to McCrae County. And it's just going on. He does this all night long. Like I have my burlap blanket on the floor, just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. So what he was telling me about, like, he knows like the legal jargon and how to get out of, like, he was selling eight balls or something like that.
He was selling eight balls?
Eight Tyler? Balls, like what, it's a mix of like heroin and speed.
Is it illegal to
cocaine?
Sell between seven and nine balls?
Marsh County, man, it's weird. So I guess it was this crazy old man that I didn't know telling me about how the legal system was conspiring to keep him in jail. Josh Nance, you were there for this. I had heard this about this.
I was there for
this? You were there for this. I'd heard about it after the fact.
What happened?
Well,
I got choked out. I can't remember.
It was one spring break. You guys had all come to Louisville to stay with me for the week.
Yes, I know what story you're about to tell.
And we went to a strip club downtown.
Yes, we did.
And all of us are in the strip club, but you and Josh go outside to take a smoke break.
Mm-hmm.
So you're smoking, and a cab pulls up, mm-hmm. and this troll of a woman gets out of the car. I guess you're smoking and trying to ignore her, so she turns to Josh. She's like, hey, how big is your dick? Without a beat, Josh on the phone just lowers his phone. Big enough. And he gets back on his phone and turns away. She tries to make sense of Josh showing her dick, and somehow it's going to get her cab fare to go back home. Why she gets
exactly. That was the big thing, was why the fuck didn't she just take the cab home?
So she gets those guys. I have to see their dicks. So that's one of the weirdest things she deserves to Josh.
I guess the weirdest thing anyone said to me, and this is Yuki's cousin, I really liked your story. The Papa John's Hopkins. I'm sorry. That is the fucking best. I hope you posted on that subreddit and got a shitload of karma for that. I had lunch in Lexington with the most arrested man in the United States, Henry Earl. Are you familiar with Henry Earl?
No, not at all.
Google him. I was eating at Sam's Hot Dog Stand in Lexington, a buddy and me, we were sitting there eating, and this man comes up to us, and he's like, mind if I have lunch with y'all? No. Pull up a seat. So he gets a hot dog, and we're all eating hot dogs. He starts talking about being on The Late Show, and my buddy and I just kind of look at each other like, this guy's crazy. Clearly this man is crazy, and like, we're just going to go along with it. And he's like, yeah, it was a lot of fun, but they didn't let me say all the things I wanted to say. And it's like, oh, okay, man, cool. We finish our hot dogs and we go back to work. As we're walking, my buddy was like, that guy looked familiar. He's like, I don't know. So we did some research when we got back to work. It's Henry Earl. He was on The Late Show for being the most arrested man in the United States.
That's pretty good.
I have a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, any more calls?
No.
I got people to thank.
You got people to thank?
Yep.
All right.
For Facebook shares, Matt Barger, Lord Mike of Purdue, Nicole Nance, Dennis Robinson.
Thank you.
For tweets, Lord Mike, Tony, and Nicole Nance, who you told me she gave us a very nice tweet.
She did.
And also, I mentioned last week how much she loved random dick pics.
You did. So yeah. Did she get any?
The next time I saw her, Josh asked her, or she said, as soon as she heard that, she was like, oh God. When I check,
people who listen to this show are going to send me dick pics.
when I get home and check Twitter, it's going to be crazy. And then when she got home and she didn't have any, she's a little upset.
She was disappointed.
So at the same time, she's like, oh God, those assholes. Why don't I have any dick pics? So it just reminded me of the Julie Louis Dreyfus skit in SNL where a homeless man comes to a nice restaurant and hits on all the girls but Julie Louis Dreyfus. And then, like, she gets upset about it. And the other women are like, why are you hitting on our friend? Who, that gross woman? No. Like, they end up, like, paying the guy to say gross things to her. And he goes up and he says awful things to her. And she's like, oh, my God, that's so gross. Like half smiling, trying to. So just remind me of Nicole, like, I don't want any dick pics.
Please stop referencing SNL because I cannot find a fucking SNL it's video hard to do. For my life. Because every time you mention an SNL skit, I'm like, that sounds like an awesome thing for the show notes. However, I cannot find it anywhere on the internet.
Copyright shit on that is tight.
Lorne, what are you doing, Lorne?
We just want funny things in our show. Come on, Lorne. I do have one segment for kind words. Ashley Shake sent me a message last night that...
On Steam.
Preferred method. His preferred method of communication, Steam. He had just reached level 10 in Steam, like your Steam badges.
Yeah.
And apparently when you're level 10, you get to add something public to your profile that everybody can see. And you get to pick from a huge list of things that you want to choose, like your favorite game or your favorite achievement, something about yourself. He chose... Tadpog.
Nice.
So right beside his picture and Ashley Shake, as soon as you click on him, you just see a big picture of Tadpog.
Nice.
He's like, it's my favorite, so I had to go put it up there.
Nice. Thank you, Shake.
Thank you, Ashley Shake. I was like, we'll give you
a Steam group?
Yeah, we do. We do, sort of.
How can someone, like, what do you do? Someone wants to join it. How do they join, Tyler?
I think you just...
I don't know.
You search Tadpog and then join, then whenever somebody gets on, we just accept. You're in. Cool. You're there.
Well, hey. Come join us. Tyler will be playing a shitload of Steam games.
Yep.
So.
Yep. You can friend us, see where we're going. Whatever. We're on board. Steam. That's it for this. This just abomination of an episode.
I don't think I'm going to publish this. I don't think we're going to have an episode this week.
You want to record a waiver beforehand? like we did for the Happy Drew Williams' birthday. We'll do a waiver beforehand.
No. I think we'll just...
Just keep rolling.
Just keep rolling. I'm not even going to edit this one, I don't think. I'm just going to put it up raw.
Thanks for sticking with us and listening, everybody. We'll be better next week, we promise.
What are we doing next week?
Next week is IGN's 63rd ranked game, Fatal Fury 2.
Yeah, that's a little more in our wheelhouse.
Yep. I see a lot more.
A little more.
A lot more.
Just a little bit.
Like the Venn diagram for soccer games Dave and Tyler like, it's two separate circles. There's no overlap. No. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher. So don't miss the next episode. We'll be talking about Fatal Fury 2. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Give the show a 5-star rating, write a review. We love them. We're just gonna give shit away. We don't make anything for the podcast. We're losing money on the podcast.
We lose money.
Because we want people to like us so much.
Don't worry, guys. We'll be back next week with more Tadpog goodness. In the meantime, if you can't wait, find us on tadpog.com. Why not? You can go there, check out the show notes. And all the non-SNL videos that are there.
Yeah. Too bad we don't have any Mad TV references.
Why would we?
No.
We're sorry.
We apologize, MTV fans. Mad TV fans.
We've also got a Facebook page. We're at facebook.com/tadpog. There's some good conversations going on. There's also some good art from time to time. I know John Sullivan, very talented gentleman. Has done some nice art that we're probably going to be posting this week.
Yeah.
So come and check it out. You can follow us on Twitter @tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, but hey, take it or leave it.
Yeah. If you know people who have @tadpog, tell them to give it to us.
That fucking guy has like one tweet and doesn't even have a profile pic. So is there a way, can we lobby a campaign to Twitter to like just give us Tadpog?
We need to just keep messaging that guy.
Ugh, what a dick. If you want to be one of the really cool people who calls us, give us a call. Tadpog Hotline is 270-883-2555.
If you want to email us, you can email us at tyler@tadpog.com and dave@tadpog.com. We're still taking submissions for Manpog, so send an email us, call us, whatever you want for that.
Yep. If you have a question, game or non-game related for either of our wives,
Or if you just have life advice and you need a woman's perspective, even better. Even better. They're both very smart girls.
Tyler.
Yes.
Our intro song. Is Moves.
Moves.
By Scott Ladd.
Scott Ladd. Probably loves soccer.
Oh, God. I would not want to play soccer against Sycamore Drive because I'm sure with our powers combined, Tyler, he'd probably still beat our ass. Sycamore Drive's track. Can be found in the show notes at tadpog.com. That is a show.
Let's bury this thing.
In the meantime, if you can't oh God. In the meantime, if you can't make oh my fuck. Nicole's gonna love this shit.
Especially if it goes up unedited.
God.
She's gonna be laughing at work and get written up.